Hello, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Truck Stop Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And now, here's your chaplain.
Tonight, we're talking about a wasted talent. We're going to be reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's on page 29 and 30 in the little book. And I'm going to go right on into it here. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who has called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and thus went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Now, if you say to someone, "This is a parable of talents," what might they think you're talking about? Well, they might be thinking you're talking about great athletes. They might be thinking you're talking about great musicians or great businessmen. I could go on with others, but the fact is that the word talent is derived from the word that in ancient Israel was used as a unit of measurement. And its value really depended on whether it was from copper, silver, or gold. Today we use the word talent to describe someone with a great aptitude or a great gift. We hear things like the talent contest, and we hear talent shows, and we hear America's Got Talent, right? We hear Great Britain's Got Talent. Does the name Susan Boyle come to mind for anybody? You know, she was, when Susan Boyle stepped out on the stage and Britain's Got Talent, people laughed at her like the scoffers in the Psalms. And they made fun of her because her outward appearance wasn't the glitz and the glitter and the glamour that they had come to expect. Members of the audience could be seen rolling their eyes when she stepped out on the stage. But you see, when she began to sing, you see, her voice was like that of an angel. People's initial attitudes about her were changed in an instant. And she had an amazing voice, and it was perfection to the ears. The rolling eyes changed to looks of shock and incredible talent that this woman had to offer. See, the resounding applause proved that she had what it took to be a star that night. But see, her talent was on the inside. Just looking at the surface, you'd have probably passed right on by. See, God looks at, He looks at what's on the inside. God doesn't care how luxurious your hair is, or the fact that it shines, or how dingy gray it is, or whether or not you have any. You see? He loves us anyway.
That's right. Amen.
You know, kind of reminds me of my dog. You know, I can come home from work and be in a terrible mood, and my dog loves me regardless. Amen. You know, I wish we could be more like my dog. We'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? But God sees the heart of the issue.
Yep.
And He loves us anyway, unconditionally. That's amazing to me. That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it exciting? God doesn't care if you drive a limousine and you have a driver. He doesn't care if you have to walk to go to church, or if you have a nice fancy car. He doesn't care. He loves you anyway. He can see past all of that. He loves us just the way we are and with the resources that we have on the inside. You see, our biggest resource is our heart. And it's that heart that has that right relationship with God. The heart that is desired, that desires to live by God's standards, not human beings. See, that's where true happiness is found. It's no secret formula that comes in a bottle or something you buy on a television commercial. The secret formula is Christ. You see, God sent His Son for you and for me. And it's just that simple. A talent can and should be considered a gift from God. But this parable is clearly about money, right? No, it's not. See, verse 15 tells us that. It says, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. See, to the one he gave five talents of money. So why am I talking about talents that we think of today? Well, Jesus spoke in parables. And do you remember? It says, he who had eyes would see, and that he who had ears would hear. He was speaking in parables, these things. And the parables are a way that He used to teach the disciples. And it's still a way for us to learn today. Nothing's changed. Tell us the point of the parable. Well, it's real simple. It's real clear, too. God gives us many abilities that are to be improved and invested in the building of God's kingdom. And through the mystery and service to our fellow human beings. See, the Declaration of Independence, you know, it says that all men are created equal, right? Do you believe that? That all men are created equal? We call that a Western way of thinking, you know. So what does it mean? Well, for one, we all have the same body temperature, don't we? Right? We all have same red blood, right? We all have a brain. And did you know there's never been a brain transplant? Well, outside of Frankenstein, and that went terribly wrong. But for the most part, but not two people have the same fingerprints, not even twins.
Amen.
You see?
Try.
We are unique creatures made in the image of God. You can explain it off any other kind of way you want, but trust me, you'll be grasping at straws when it comes right down to the bottom line. Now listen again to verse 15. It says, to one he gave five talents of money, to another two talents, and to another one talent, each according to what?
His own ability.
Wait a minute, who put that in there? Each according to his own ability. Let me ask you something. Who knows you better than God? Joe says Jan.
Nobody. That's right.
He gives each according to his own ability. And let me tell you, God knows what your abilities are. So it's not like you're pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. Does that mean that if you're not able to do anything for God, that He won't bless you? Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself, what is it that you couldn't do for God? The command was, go ye therefore and teach what? All nations. To do what? To make disciples. Right? That was the command. It was just to chaplains, though, wasn't it?
No.
You see, it was to everyone. So let me ask you, are you doing that? Is that your motivating factor when you open your eyes in the morning? Is who can I reach today? And how can I carry that conversation I had with whoever it was yesterday a step further today? How can we get to that, here it comes, Joe, that next level? See, I can't sing, and I can't do it. It just don't sound good. It hurts my ears, you know? But there's many people, and there's many beautiful people in here that can sing. No, Joe, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at... Amen. Now, see, the last part of that verse, then he went on his journey. Did you catch that? See, God gives us a gift according to our ability, and then he leaves us alone with it. No, I didn't say he abandons us. I said he leaves us alone with that ability to see how we're going to use it and if we're going to use it. Are we going to plug it in and actually accomplish something for the kingdom of God, or are we just going to set it on a shelf and let it sit there and collect dust? See, he could if he wanted to. He could micromanage us. He wants us to choose to seek him, right? He wants us to choose to share him with others. You know, I hear people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. But Christianity, but sharing God's word was never meant to be all just yours. It was meant to be shared with others. It says he came to die for all of our sins, not just yours. You don't get you taken care of and then forget the rest of the world. We got to invest our abilities and enjoy the reward of living productive lives. See, he gives us abilities and leaves us, it says in verse 19. And we find that the master returns. Let me tell you, folks, he who has come is coming again.
That's right.
And let me tell you, if you don't look on the horizon and see things happening today, and I'm not a doomsday speaker by no means, but let me tell you, if you can't read the writing on the wall, you need to get back into the Word of God, because it's coming true. We are seeing prophecy fulfilled day by day. So let me ask you, do you want to be the person that buried your abilities? See, there's no greater waste of a resource than unrealized talent. See, God trusts us so much with this responsibility, but what do we do with it? How do I know what God wants me to do? It's a valid question. The answer is quite simple. Pray. If you want to answer, go to the source and ask. Don't just say, well, I'm waiting for him to come to me. Because let me tell you, he's already been standing there and knocking.
That's right.
Right? It's time for you to answer the door. And it's time for you to dig a little deeper, open up God's Word, and seek out what it is he has for you. Pray about it. You know, as a man from out east, I always had a dream of having a big old cattle farm, cattle ranch, and finally he saved some money and he bought a big old spread in Wyoming. And his best friend flew out and asked him, said, so what'd you finally name the place? He said, well, me and my wife had problems coming up with a name for it. We didn't know what to name it. So finally, we finally decided on something. We decided on calling it the Double R Lazy L Triple Horseshoe Bar 7 Lucky Diamond Ranch. He said, well, my word. He said, well, where are all your cows? He said, well, that's the problem. They didn't survive the branding. You know, we're focusing on some ways that we can improve our service to others. And I want to suggest tonight to you that it's possible to get so caught up in what we call spiritual gifts that we don't survive the servanthood, okay? Start where you're at with what you got. Let's keep it simple to start with. God will work out the rest of it. As long as you're seeking Him, He'll reveal to you what it is He's got for you to do. Step out on faith. Get out of your comfort zone. Move forward and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. The key is not so much to identify what we have, but to use what we've been given. 1 Peter 4:10. It's on page 247. So each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. See, there's no doubt in the minds of these servants that the property and the money still belong to the master. There was no question in this parable. They were the possessors, not the owners. Their job was to manage what they had been given. And likewise, we must remember that everything that we have has been given to us, and it's not ours anyway. It's just on loan to us. It's entrusted to us. Now, what are we doing with it? Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." You don't own a thing. "The silver is mine, the gold is mine," declares the Lord Almighty in Haggai 2:8. See, he has the rights and I have the responsibility, right? He is the master and I am the manager. I'm the servant and he is the sovereign Lord. We have to get our roles defined. We get that messed up here in America. We get to thinking that we're our own gods. We're in charge of our own destiny. Where you are until you get there. Problem is, you're not in charge after that point. At that point, you're just along for the ride of whatever you've done between there and eternity. Because that's where you'll spend your life. I pray that you're making the right choices now so that later on, things will be more pleasant. I'd hate to think that anyone in here didn't make it because of a wasted talent. You know, until we recognize this truth, will not be good managers of what has been entrusted to us. See, our days are in His hands, and our gifts and our abilities are on loan from Him. Our money is in advance. It's already been forwarded to us. The house, the car, the clothes, every possession we have doesn't belong to us. We really don't own anything. So we got to invest, though, what we've been given. And verse 16 tells us that the man who received 5 talents, at once he put his money to work and gained 5 more. At once. See, he didn't waste any time, but immediately went to work on his investment strategy to double the master's portfolio. How about you? Have you doubled your master's portfolio? I can't imagine looking down on my son and seeing my son sacrifice for a bunch of folks who didn't care, to spit on him, hit him, threw things at him. I can't imagine seeing my own son sacrificed in that manner for people who didn't care a thing about him. How much greater must the pain be to God the Father to have sent that son for that? You know what it shows me? That His love has no bounds. His love has absolutely no bounds. In spite of all of that, He still did it, knowing the future. He's the Alpha and Omega, right? The guy who had gotten 2 talents did the same thing. Only the text doesn't say that he went to work at once, like the first guy did. We do know that he worked hard, however, because he also doubled the master's money, ending up with 4 talents. And in verse 18, it describes a different approach of the third servant, doesn't it? It says, "But a man had received the 1 talent, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money." So even though we don't read about a specific instructions of what to do with the money, the first 2 guys went to work and multiplied their investment. I guess that's what I'm trying to get across to y'all tonight. Are you multiplying that investment that's been given to you? Have you identified what that gift is? You know, at that moment of conversion, as soon as you accept Christ, that at that moment you receive that a gift. Some people receive many gifts, many spiritual gifts. Nobody ever receives them all, but you might receive one, you might receive several. But have you identified what those are? Maybe you ought to start looking in that direction if you haven't. God's got a specific plan that only you can do. I can't do anything with your talent, and you can't do anything with my talent. We have to do that ourselves. It's up to us to do that. You know, the 1 talent guy was a slacker who went off, buried his blessings, basically. Practice of hiding valuables in the ground goes way back. I have a feeling it's coming back again. You know, there's a boy named Antonio, and he wanted to sing in the boys' choir, and he tried out, and he just couldn't do it. He didn't make it. And he went on and tried to take some violin lessons, and he failed miserably, but he wanted to make music. He had this desire to make music He used to do a lot of whittling, so his fingers just didn't work right for the violin. But he went to work for a craftsman, and this craftsman tuned up his whittling skills. You know, he continued to work and develop his skills and practice and hone his abilities. You see, when he died, he left over 1,500 violins behind. Antonio Stradivarius.
Oh, wow.
Some sell for over $100,000 each. See, Antonio couldn't sing and he couldn't preach or teach, but his responsibility was to use his ability, and his violins are still making beautiful music today. See, our potential is God's gift to us, and what we do with it is our gift to Him. A man named Ziegler said, "You are the only person on earth who can use your ability." So you're investing what you've been given, regardless of how much you use it. Are you doing that? Are you actually investing in it? You should be. You should be honing your skills. You know, it's amazing that I can walk in some churches today and you can see people who have been there for years, and for whatever reason they have gotten in there and gotten comfortable, and if you ask them to lead someone to Christ, they would be totally lost. Whose responsibility does that fall on? It falls on us. Who is the church?
We are.
We are. You see? I'm not talking about the church in general, the buildings. I'm talking about us. We fail our brothers and our sisters when we don't share our skills and our talents that God has given us with them. A day of accountability is coming, my friend. None of us want to be audited by the IRS, do we? How would you like to be audited by the God Almighty Himself?
Wow.
You think the IRS can find gaps and holes in your portfolio? Let me tell you, you can hide nothing from God. We'll have to give an account in how we've used those gifts that He's given us. You know, in verse 19, it said, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. You know, that scares me. Settled accounts with them. It kind of reminds me of something my mom used to say, "Wait till your dad gets home." You know, that was never a good thing. No good could come from that. See, Jesus is coming again, my friends, and there will be a day of reckoning.
Yes.
See, while most of us believe this in our heads, we don't always live it in our lives, in our hearts, do we? Oh, it's okay. We accept it. It's gonna happen, but it isn't happening at this moment. You know, if we could think more about His return, we'd be more focused on making an eternal return on our investment. In Romans 14:12, it says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." See, it's the duty of the servants to always bear in mind that the master is going to be returning to settle those accounts. So, friend, Jesus is coming again, and let's be faithful in doing whatever He gives us to do. You know, He's investing something in you, and one day He's coming back to claim that. So your job may be big or it may be small, but whatever it is, do it to the very best of your ability. 1 John 2:28, it says, "And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him as His coming." Serve in the light of a future reckoning. See, it helps us to get in the habit of asking the question, how will my money management or this decision to serve or look on that day of accountability? You see, when those opportunities come to you, how you respond to them matters greatly. Did you know that wickedness and laziness partner together to keep people from full surrender and service? You know, in the original, this combination of terms is unforgettable because they rhyme. While the other two servants were busy working hard, the selfish sluggard dug a hole, you know, little realizing that he was digging the hole for himself. See, the selfish heart coupled with an unwillingness to do anything about it will take many people on the path of destruction. And it can lead to that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We all have elements of laziness in us. And our culture seems to be set on slothfulness as well. I just recently heard that Nintendo was offering $100, $100 a day for people to play computer games all through the summer that's coming up. It's almost like we promote it. I'm convinced that laziness is extremely dangerous to our spiritual lives. We think that we can put something off until later. We will eventually do just that. We'll put it off until later. And it's ruining our nation, my friends. You know, Proverbs 6:9 says, "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" And Proverbs 10:5 says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son." Proverbs 13:4 and Hebrews 6:11-12, they all mention these same things. Because, you see, the third guy did not use what he had been given. He lost. He lost it all, according to verse 28. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. See, God said that I give you a talent. Now invest it and bring me a return on my investment. So what is that return? Winning people to Christ. Amen? So let me also tell you this. It's not easy. There's going to be times when you just want to take a break, you know? When you want to take the back seat, when you want to take the easy road. God, I know what you want. I know you want me to do this, but it's not easy. See, but God never said it would be easy. He said, "I will see you through it, though."
Right.
And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right?
Yeah.
He gives you that strength, and He gives you that power to persevere and push right on through. You know, we're constantly looking for easy, aren't we? Water flows in the easiest and least resistance, right? It has no other choices. It can't make up its own mind and say, "Well, I'm just going to go over here and do this." Don't work that way, does it? But you and I, see, we're wired a little different. It's a natural occurrence. However, humans, we flow to the path of the least resistance because it's easy. You can see it on TV now. You got a commercial on there, you can hit the easy button.
Yeah.
We make jokes about it every time the, I think it's Office Depot or whoever it is comes by and drops off our paper for us. And we say, "Well, somebody must have hit the easy button."
Yeah.
You know. But isn't that what we look for in our lives? We look for the easy button. Where do we get off saying it's got to be easy? Man with the lone talent chose the easy way out, and he buried his coin and wasted and waited for his master to return. See, the story seems to focus on the one man, the one man that did not use his talent but buried it. But why did the men with the 5 talents and the men with the 2 talents invest it? The answer is they had faith. They knew the master was going to return. They knew the kind of master he was, and they knew exactly what he would expect. Are you any different?
Mm.
Are we any different? If we believe in him to help, we will not fail. See, if we invest our talents, we could run into trouble, or we could lose a great deal, there's no doubt. John Doe doesn't want to sing in the choir because the guys at work might think he's weird. Jane Doe doesn't want to be chairman of the trustees, even though that she's a good handy person because a man normally holds that position. These are wasted talents, my friend. So I got to ask you, when things like that come up and when you're pressured, you know that God's leading you in a direction and you're pressured by someone else to not go in that direction, who's your master at that point? Is it those people or is it still God? Who are you bowing down to, and are you doing it out of fear? You doing it out of love and admiration? You doing it out of respect and honor? Or are you doing it out of shame? What reward will we get from others if we don't do what they want us to do? But what reward will you get from God if you do what He says and you follow through with what He has for you? There's 4 more people with 1 talent than there are with 2, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
At least in my life, there is. While the world and even the church notices, applauds, and richly rewards those blessed with extraordinary gifts, they tend to ignore those with the talents that are just average. Let me tell you, in the eyes of God, there is nothing that is average. You see, everything He's given you is absolutely unique and personable to you. It's designed for you. There's nothing that should bring you any more happiness than finding what God has for you to do and then pursuing it. Heavy wagon being dragged along the country lane by a couple of oxen. and the axle's grown out and creaking, and the tires are just creaking and aching, and the oxen turn around and they address the wheels and they say, "Hey there, why do you make so much noise? We bear all the labor, not you. It ought to be us that cries out." Let me tell you, those complain first in our churches are who have the least to do. If we could be about our Father's business, we wouldn't have time to talk about others.
Amen.
If we could focus on what God's got for us to do and keep focused on that, the rest of the thing doesn't matter. God will take care of that. The gift of grumbling is largely dispensed among those who have no other talents and who keep what they have wrapped up in a napkin. Charles Spurgeon said that. See, they turned their ultimate resentment into bitterness towards God, and the unfaithful servant says that he was afraid of the master. See, the master replies, "You are lazy and wicked." Now, how can you get wickedness from laziness? Wickedness lies not in the evil done, but in the good left undone. I've said in here many times that what Satan wants is for good people to sit on their hands and do absolutely nothing. You see, it works for him. It's working well. You know, the wickedness lies in what's being left undone. You know, because there was no one at the crisis center to answer the phone, a woman leaped to her death. Because the talent was buried, a teen grew up without caring. A mentor or a mission hospital was not built. Because the chaplain door was locked, some went to hell. You see, because the flyers weren't placed on the trucks, someone had a missed opportunity. Because the announcements weren't made, someone didn't hear the word. We got to be about our Father's business. We need to be diligent about what we're doing. We need to be focused about what we're doing. What you're doing is extremely important. Can you imagine what the world would be like without evangelist Billy Sunday? If he would have never been here, if he would have buried his talents instead. What about Billy Graham? If he would have remained a dairy farmer instead of going against his father's wishes to become a pastor, a preacher. See, but those are individual accounts. The fact is that it takes many individuals to make up a church, to make up a community, to make up a kingdom. See, the architect draws up the plans of a church, and a mason, he lays the concrete foundation. A carpenter builds the walls, and plumber puts in the water lines, and the electrician runs the wiring. The decorator picks out the carpeting and arranges the altar and the pulpit. And the evangelist draws the people in, and the organist plays the wonderful music. And yes, the pastor leads the service, and the janitor cleans up afterwards. Let me tell you, all of those are very much needed.
Amen.
And all of those are talents and gifts given to us and entrusted to us to carry through with them. Each person contributes his or her own talent. And let me tell you what it does. It creates a portal to the kingdom of God. That's what it does. A portal to the kingdom of God. He was talking last night about being a Trekkie. There's your portal. You know, even the church congregation has a part in this thing. The trustees, the treasurer, the administrator, the worship committee members, and if you're a Baptist, you got plenty of committees. Finance committee members, Sunday school teachers, secretaries, babysitters, and the list goes on and on and on. If you can't find something to do, you're not looking. See, everyone is a steward for Christ, and each one, no matter how insignificant they may think their talent is so important to God. You see? So you may only give a glass of water to a thirsty child, but if you do it in the name of Christ, you've done it well.
Amen. That's right.
God gave us abilities and talents that we were born. And even before we were born, do you remember Jeremiah? You remember he said, "I called him before he was even conceived." See, God wants us to invest our talents so that others will come to know Him. He does not want us to have a wasted talents. He wants us to use it to the best of our abilities. We'll all have to someday face Him and give an account for what we did or what we didn't do. Let's not tell Him how we wasted His gifts that He gave us. I remember a story a while back. I told it here. Something reminded me of it in the restaurant a while ago. I told Scott about starfish. This father and his son, and they're walking along the beach, and there's thousands of starfish that's washed up on the beach. And his son bends down and picks one up and he tosses it back into the ocean. And they walk a little further and his son picks up another one and tosses it back in the ocean. And his dad finally looks down at him and says, What are you doing? He said, I'm putting these starfish back in the ocean where they belong. He said, well, it's not going to make any difference. He said, well, it did to this one.
Right.
You see?
Amen.
Now let me ask you, have you made a difference? Are you making a difference? Would you commit to making a difference? Look, anyone can walk in here. We're open to everybody that will please come through the door. But at least leave here better than we came in. Just leave here more focused than we came in. Let's leave here with a mission to carry God's word to someone. Let's make a difference in someone's life. And we're going to close with a prayer of salvation. Now, I feel pretty confident about the folks in here, but you know what? I will not miss an opportunity because you don't ever know. We're going to close with a prayer of salvation. If you've prayed this 100 times before, it won't make you any more saved than you were when you came in. But let me tell you, we're separated from God by sin. It's a sin problem, and there's only one way to fix it. That's to confess that sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do that through confession and believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. We do that. We do that with understanding. We do that with our mouth. We do that aloud here. It goes like this. Dear God, I know that Jesus is Your Son.
I know that Jesus is Your Son.
And that He died on the cross for my sin.
He died on the cross for my sin.
And He was raised from the dead.
He was raised from the dead.
I also know that I have sinned. I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins. And receive Jesus as my Savior. And Master over me. And help me to be the kind of Christian that You want me to be. And thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you. Please keep us in your prayers, and if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/truckstopministries. Also, our website is www.truckstopministries.org. You can also make a donation at either place if you feel so led. We appreciate your prayers, comments, and support, and it is our prayer that God richly bless you.